Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, April 24th, 2023. This morning I will talk about the Holy Spirit. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Spirit of God, all praise and honor, power and dominion, truth and justice are yours, because you sustain and provision all living things. Live within us and grant us all manner of spiritual gifts. Be ever near. Forgive our lack of spiritual knowledge, unwillingness to practice forgiveness, and unbecoming haughty nature. Father of all holiness, create in us clean hearts. Thank you for teaching us the spiritual gifts of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May we ever share these gifts with everyone we meet. Grant us discerning hearts and minds that we might love the things that you love and hate the things that you hate. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Genesis 1:2, we read, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." My recent book, Image and Illumination, asked the question, what does it mean to be created in the image of God, with a focus on Christian anthropology? In the course of discussion, it became apparent that the image of God in the New Testament takes at least three forms. The person of Jesus, Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God with the parables, and the founding of the church on Pentecost by the Holy Spirit. Here I will focus on the image of the Holy Spirit as found in the church. We live at a time when the institutional church has lost its appeal for many people, especially young people, who in their heart of hearts doubt the teaching of the church and find worship both pointless and boring. Part of this dilemma stems from insufficient attention in the church to spiritual formation, and part is due to the rise of materialism as the dominant cultural motif. Where Nietzsche was the son of a Lutheran pastor and knew what it meant to be a Christian, today we confront sons and daughters of Nietzsche who overlook his insanity and eagerly grasp his will to power teaching, but have no clue to what Christianity is about. While social media screams for our attention and standards of living, life expectancy, and fertility rates in the United States are all falling, cultural Christianity has proven itself to be sterile, and the church mutes the still small voice of God, distracted with other issues. In the midst of cultural meltdown and churchly amnesia, ecclesiology, the study of the church, remains fervently untilled soil. While the church as we know it is a product of the New Testament, antecedents of the church can be found in the image and work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. The avian image of God's Spirit found in Genesis 1:2 shows a contrast between the primordial chaos and God as creator. While the word used, Spirit, is poetic, the core idea here is that the Holy Spirit embodies God's agency in the world. God is not passive. He is an active agent of change through His Word. God's Word creates the universe, and it is later embodied in covenants written down in Scripture and proclaimed by God's faithful messiahs, priests, prophets, and kings. God's agency is both manifest in His footloose Spirit and embodied through Scripture, temple, and charismatic leaders. The object of this agency is the identification and formation of God's elect. The Holy Spirit is footloose in the book of Acts as named and unnamed disciples carry the church to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. At the Council of Jerusalem, in spite of much opposition, the gospel is provisionally opened to Gentiles. The gospel reached the furthermost parts of the Roman Empire and beyond within a single generation. The purpose of the Spirit in evangelism is to identify those called to be the church. The Apostle Paul's work as an evangelist is mixed with the heart of a pastor in his letters to the church. Listen to Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. "To those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours." This is 1 Corinthians 1:2. The phrase "called to be saints together" suggests that Our purpose in being called is to become more holy, and that this process can only be attained jointly with others called by God. Paul's favorite description of the church, which is used here, is the called out ones, or those called out. Spiritual formation is accordingly the primary role of the church. The agency of the Holy Spirit works in the church to identify and form Christians. Much like heaven and earth are formed together, hearts and minds must be formed together if the faithful are to believe. This unity of heart and mind poses a special challenge in today's world, where heart and mind are frequently treated as separate, with one or the other being emphasized. Neglect of the heart leads to stale, distant faith, while neglect of the mind leads to a superficial faith with little application to daily challenges. The image of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, reminds us that the heart and mind are best taken together. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.